Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us, and we thank you for the privilege it is to meet together around it this morning. We pray that through it you will speak to us by your Holy Spirit to draw us closer to your Son, Jesus Christ. And in his name we pray. Amen. How common is it for someone to truly show you their heart? That is, to show you what is closest to them, to show you something about them that might lead to rejection, that is, to be vulnerable. It's also hard for us to do it to other people as well, isn't it? I remember as a child, I had moved to the Blue Mountains from Victoria. Now, in Victoria, of course, everyone goes for AFL teams, and I kept being asked over and over again which rugby league team I supported. And I knew that as soon as I showed anyone my heart, there was an opportunity for them to reject me, especially in the early 90s when that particular game was all anyone could think about. That's, of course, a very small and trivial example, although it didn't seem quite so trivial to me at the time. But to show someone your heart, to show someone what you truly care about, even with the possibility of rejection, well, it's not an easy thing. It's not a small thing. But what about God's heart? What is God? When is God vulnerable to us? In today's passage, we have the great privilege of seeing that God's heart is truly for the lost. God's heart breaks for the lost. That's reflected in Paul's words as well, as his heart breaks for the lost, particularly in this passage, the lost of Israel, of God's own people throughout the history of God working in the Bible. And so we have a bit of an outline there in the bulletin if you'd like to follow along as well. Paul begins Romans chapter 9 that we're looking at today with something of an emotional jolt, doesn't he? You might remember that last week, well, Romans chapter 8 ended in what seemed like triumphant joy, knowing that because of God's promises and his steadfastness, nothing can take us away from his love. But here, there is sorrow and anguish at the beginning of Romans chapter 9. This passage, it marks a whole new section in the book of Romans, chapters 9 to 11, where Paul addresses a painful question. That is, if God's promises are true, why then do so many of God's own people, that is, the Jews, why have they rejected Jesus? And for Paul, this isn't just a theological problem for him to try and unravel. It's personal. He is heartbroken because these are his people, his fellow countrymen. Yet he trusts in the faithfulness of God's plan, even in the midst of this anguish that he feels. Because Paul's anguish in verses 1 to 3, it reveals God's heart. The kind of anguish that he's feeling, well, it's the anguish of someone who is estranged from someone close to them. I've heard that recently there are more and more examples of parents being estranged from their children and being heartbroken, or children feeling estranged from their parents. I don't know if it is more common or if it's just that we hear about it more often these days. But in every example I know, there's anguish, there is heartbreak. The same kind of anguish that God must feel for his estranged people. Now, Paul wants his readers to know that he is sincere. He's not just making a throwaway point. That's why he says he speaks the truth. That's why he says he is not lying. That's why he says his conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit, all there in verse 1. Why does he so strongly stress his concern for Israel? Well, he knew that his passionate defense for non-Jews being able to follow Jesus without first becoming Jews, something that he had talked about at length previously in the book of Romans, well, it had earned him a bit of a reputation in some quarters for him being anti-Jewish, as if he had somehow given up on his own people. But that's not true at all. In verse 2 he says, I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. And the anguish that he feels, well, it reflects God's anguish for his people Israel, and secondly, for all people as a result, because it's the same God. He has the same heart. He has the same attitude towards all people who do not know Christ. Paul says he could wish himself cursed if it meant that his people would be saved. That's how much he loves them. His sorrow reflects God's own love. And so, do we share in God's heart for the lost? Does our own love for those around them, around us, be they Jewish, be they from any other group, be they in our family or just acquaintances? Does our love move us to prayer, to compassion? Are we comfortable to know that others are perishing apart from Christ? Well, Paul definitely isn't. He wishes that he could take their place in the same way that I've heard many times a parent would love to be able to take the place of a sick child. And yet that's not how things work. He says in verse 3, for I wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race. He could wish this, but he knows that it's not God's plan. It shows, though, his deep, deep love and care for them. Would Paul actually have prayed this if it were possible? I don't know. He knows God's plan. He knows God's heart. He trusts God, and yet at the same time, he wishes there was something he could do. Yes, he's known as the apostle to the Gentiles, but he still cares about his own people. I think deep down, he definitely knows that he can't take their place, because there's, of course, only one person in all of history who could take the curse for sin, and that is Jesus himself. That's why he is the one through whom everyone, whether they have a heritage of God's promises or not, Jew or Gentile, how anyone comes to a relationship with God. He can't, but he knows somebody already has. As Galatians chapter 3 verse 13 says, Paul there writes to the Galatians and clearly says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. He was cut off so that all people could be brought back in. And of course, we too can't offer ourselves as a sacrifice for those that are dear to us as much as we may want to. But Jesus already has. He is the hope for all people. There's no one who is outside of God's love. There's no one who is not the type of person to trust in Jesus. And so God's invitation is open to everyone in Christ. God doesn't give up on his people. That there is our third point in the outline. He doesn't give up on the people who belong to him in history, who have the privileges of having known him in their history as well. And he doesn't give up on anyone else either. That's why he sent Jesus in the first place. Now, belonging to God, it's a privilege, isn't it? That's what Paul outlines in verse 4 and verse 5. They're adopted. They have God's glory. They have the covenants. They've received the law. They have the whole history of being able to come close to God through the temple and through the worship that happened there. Paul's concern is not just that so many of his own people seem doomed to a relationship, to not having a relationship with God. It's also that their fate, it seems so incompatible with all the privileges that they have received up to this point. For him, it is natural for them to have all of that, to know all of that, and then to trust in Jesus. It is so clear to him that all of that points to Jesus. But he also knows that all of that can only point to Jesus with the help of God's Holy Spirit working in us as well. He mentions the covenants as well. These are the covenants that God made. That is the deals that God made with Noah, with Abraham, with the people of Israel at Sinai, at Moses, with David as well, saying that a king would sit on his throne forever. But these privileges were not earned. They were only ever by grace. Now, we'll see that more in the next passage, but we also see it clearly here, as Paul mentions, that theirs are the patriarchs. That is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We might think of them as great men of faith, great father figures for the whole nation of Israel. That's true in part, but they were also a pretty motley crew. All of them failed spectacularly in different ways. And yet, God was gracious to them and continued his promises through them as well. So they should really know that it's only ever by grace. Paul also wants them to know that all these privileges point to Christ, as he says in the rest of verse 5 there. From them is traced the human ancestry of the Messiah, who is God over all, forever praised. Amen. So if God hasn't given up on his people, we know that he has a heart for the lost. There's no one who God says has lost their chance to follow Christ. Not his people, not anyone else either. Because his promises are secure. They were fulfilled in Christ. They're open to all as well. And so God's heart does break for the lost. Yes, Romans chapter 9, it begins in tears, but the message isn't hopeless. It's a reminder that God did something to fix this terrible situation, that he sent Jesus to take the curse, that he is still faithful to his promises today. And so, we are safe in Christ to have hearts that similarly break for the lost as well. As we were saying at the beginning, it can be a scary thought to be vulnerable with someone, to share with someone your deepest needs, deepest desires with them. It can even be scary to share with someone your desire that they know Jesus. But because our hearts are safe in Christ, well, we are safe to be vulnerable, to have the kind of heart that does break for the lost, knowing that that won't lead to despair. Because God is good, God is loving, his promises are sure and good as well. And so it's wonderful that this passage encourages us to have soft hearts as Paul did and as God definitely does as well. Sometimes people can have this idea of Paul being a hard-hearted man, but that seems so far from who we see here in this passage and also in many other passages as well. God's heart truly does break for the lost, so much so that he sent his son to bear the curse for us, proving his faithfulness to save Jew and Gentile alike. Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love shown to all people through your Son, Jesus. Father, we thank you that you do truly have a heart for your people and that through them your love has been extended in Christ to all nations. Help us to follow Paul's example in having a heart that breaks for the lost, a heart that truly cares, knowing that we are secure to do so and safe to do so in the knowledge that you are good and loving and your promises are true and sure. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.